Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
Take 12, if you want to run uncut, yeah. Unapologetic from the jump, yeah. And no politics in this club, just dirt from the streets and the creeks in the mud. Take 12, best podcast for the Seahawks, number one sports talk, yeah, we got it on live. Take 12, every episode, 12 hot takes, and we reppin' for Seattle, my place. Take 12.
It's the Take 12 Podcast on the Believe Network. Thanks for tuning in. I am Seahawks superfan Brett Davern, and he is Seahawks legend Lofa Tatupu with you for one final ride this season. The Super Bowl is in the books, and there's much to discuss. What does this mean for the Chiefs' legacy? What does it mean for the Niners and their legacy? And what does this mean for Taylor Swift and her career? I heard she's a singer. Katie, did you know that? There's this girl, everyone says she's going to be popular. I don't know.
Are you talking about Travis's girlfriend?
Yeah, she had a lot of coverage on there. I think she's going to be big. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. And thank you to our sponsor, Wiener Schnitzel. Two locations in Western Washington, Everett and in Fife. Go on in, mention the Take 12 Podcast. Get a free hot dog with any other purchase. You get, you know, whether you're getting a corn dog or chili dog or ice cream cone, whatever you're getting down there, it's all good at Wiener Schnitzel. You have forgotten how delicious Wiener Schnitzel is, I promise. Go down and try some, and then I dare you to not go back within a couple of days. It's that good. Wiener Schnitzel, everybody. One of them in Fife, right down there around Tacoma, and then one of them up there in Everett, just north of my hometown, Edmonds. On this episode, Lofa and I, we got into the Super Bowl big time, and also the commercials, and Katie didn't really talk much about it because she ignored the Super Bowl, Lofa. I didn't think it could be done. I didn't think I'd ever know a person who could do this, but she successfully didn't even watch one, right, Katie? Even one moment of the Super Bowl.
I guess it's like a rerun at this point.
How do you, I mean, I did talk to someone on Saturday who said, oh, we're not even going to be watching. We're driving. So we'll be in the car and it's the first time I won't ever be there. And like, did it feel, cause Katie, like I have to tell you, I am jealous of this, like in a way deep down, I am a little jealous that the biggest thing ever. And you're just like, I'm just going to live my life. There's a freedom in that. That I am jealous of.
All right, yeah.
Because I am a slave to the NFL overlord, man. I bow down to that machine, man. I can't get enough of it. And I'm jealous that you're just out there living your life while I'm sitting in front of the TV for 5 hours.
Yeah, what'd you do? What'd you do all day?
I'm so jealous of this.
Just like, you know, read and like did stuff around the house.
See what I mean, Lofa? Like, it sounds kind of nice, right?
Sounds relaxing. Sounds peaceful.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we'll get into all of it. Actually, let's do that right now. Here's the conversation and the episode. Without further ado. Whoa. Katie is over there fashioning my tinfoil hat for me, so I'll get that on. And then I'll be ready to talk about the Super Bowl whenever you are, Lofa. You have a Sonics hat on today, but it is gray, I notice, which, you know, followers of my conspiracy theories and McNeil's will note is the color of tinfoil. So maybe Lofa is trying to tell us something this morning. It's
the code. Just a coincidence.
Oh, okay. buddy, happy Super Bowl Monday. The big game yesterday, 100 and wait, no, what did we, what did you say? Over a billion people, Katie? Something, what was the viewership number we were talking about?
We didn't talk about the viewership number. We talked about the chicken wings number.
Oh, sorry. That was the number of chickens that were watching the game, or yeah, over a billion chicken wings, but over 100 quadrillion people watching all over the world. Lofa, where were you? How are you enjoying your Super Bowl Sunday? And I mean, we should just probably just jump right into the game, I think.
Yeah. I went to Moss Bay Hall.
Okay.
Spot that our buddy Keith and Gary that own the Queen Anne Beer Hall, they opened over in Kirkland.
Oh, right. Okay. Yep.
It's where the Wild Rover used to be. You remember that?
Gotcha. Yep. 100%. Yeah. I mean, I don't remember, but you know what I mean.
Oh, well, you grew up here. I thought you would have been there.
Yeah. No, no.
He's saying he got drunk there too much.
Yeah. Okay. yeah. Place is sick. And so we were there. Big play. Babs is in the house.
Nice.
One of my other buddies is there, Paul Amato. Shout out to Shreddy. And I brought my kid, Kai.
Yeah.
So it was the first Super Bowl we really watched. I made him. I was like, bro, you got to watch.
You got to get into it. Yeah.
And so I dragged him there with me. And we watched the first half there and then watched the second half back at home. But yeah, the first half, I mean.
Not much to watch.
It's pretty much what happens in a lot. I mean, I remember even in the one I played in, it was just boring, right? Mm-hmm. Like no action, nothing happening. Not even really exciting if you like defense, because there wasn't like a whole lot of big hits, like two fumbles though.
Yeah.
Which were huge.
Right.
But other than that, it was a very, not very entertaining first half.
Yeah. What, going into the game, did you have a rooting interest, or was there a rooting, like who was Kai rooting for?
He's not allowed to root for the Niners.
Right.
So I mean, okay. That kind of singles it down.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we were Swifties for the moment.
Uh-huh. Yeah. My kids too. My kids despise the Niners, rightfully so. And of course I can't root for the Niners. The party I was watching it at, I got there and I said, well, you know, as a Seahawk fan, these are both division rivals of sorts, because we used to be in the AFC West. Uh-huh. And I blew everybody's mind with that one. People didn't even realize the Seahawks used to be in the AFC at the joint I was at. But yeah, so I guess I was rooting for the Chiefs, but really I was just sort of watching quite a boring game until the fourth quarter. And I called it even in the first half. I said, nah, this thing's going to overtime. The NFL needs an extra quarter and there will be some scoring. And boy, was there. What about the football of it wasn't great even at the beginning. Is that just teams being nervous and trying to figure each other out, or what's going on?
Yeah, you always want to see who's going to, you know, come out and draw first blood, right? Get on the scoreboard, and that kind of adds to every snap feels like there's so much pressure on it. And, you know, just when I'm watching it, that's how I feel when I'm watching it. And when I was playing it, it was just like another football game, so it's weird. But, yeah, you hear like even the commentators hanging on every, you know, third down conversion.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is huge. Like it's so amplified in the moment. But just, you know, I thought they did come out a little tight. There was not a ton of shots downfield. I thought Shanahan called an amazing game.
Especially at the beginning.
Man,
yeah.
His trick plays were at great times. And, you know, one was an overthrow. Purdy just released he was a little too far with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one, the double pass. As soon as I saw Jennings step back, that's like, you know, your antennas go up. I just stood up. I go, double pass. And everybody like kind of like looked over at me. And sure it was. But I thought they were going to go down the field. They went straight back across to McCaffrey.
Yeah.
And he did the rest. So it was like, yeah, he leaned on the run game, which that's what I was like, hey, if he wants to win this game, he's going to have to go with McCaffrey. And he did. McCaffrey had 30 plus touches, 20 something carries and 8 receptions. That's usually a recipe to win. And unfortunately, there's just that guy Mahomes on the other side and Kelsey.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Juwan Jennings, I mean, probably the MVP of the game if it goes the Niners' way when it's all said and done, right?
He had some huge catches, run after the catch, and then just that touchdown he had kind of remind me of Curses, mm-hmm. like, where he just fought off two or three tackles, and you know, willed his way to the end zone. Yeah, and then the touchdown pass, I think that's, you know, first time someone's thrown a touchdown pass, we were reminded, since Antoine Randall.
Yeah, yeah. It would have been an all-time performance for sure by an individual player throwing for a touchdown, catching a touchdown, the other catches he had. Yeah, just great game for him, but it goes the Chiefs' way at the end late. And, I mean, the Niners, it's weird because, you know, I'm not rooting for them, but they played a better game, it feels like. It was like their season. Like, they were consistent. Their defense was stout. They weren't letting Mahomes do anything. But they just kind of couldn't get that big touchdown to pull away when they needed to. The missed extra point in the second half looms huge at the end. I mean, it's crazy how the math always comes back to find you in football, isn't it?
Special teams, but that's the, you know, third, you know, part of the game.
Yeah.
And they did great job covering kicks, both sides. I mean, it was awesome to watch. Open field tackle, like, big hits. Uh-huh. And then, yeah, that blocked field goal.
Well, I shouldn't say missed. Yeah, blocked.
It was huge.
Yeah.
But then what about the fumble? It bounced off the guy's foot. And McLeod, you just got to dive on the ball.
Yeah.
You know, I can't fault him. He's a playmaker, and he saw an opportunity. He thought if he got it, one of the gunner was by him. So those are like really your only threats. And unfortunately, it slipped through his hands as he went to, you know, pick it up on the run.
Yeah.
But special teams, man, that's the third phase of the game that always looms large. And it's brutal, man, because they played a great game offensively, defensively. Special teams, they had two missed opportunities that gave Mahomes and them points.
Yeah.
It's just, and they played 3.5 great quarters of football.
Well, through
Mahomes.
Yeah.
Mahomes and Kelce just do what they always do to finish games. And then in overtime, you can't give them another chance. You can't give them a chance.
How about Kelce bumping Andy Reid or whatever that was, getting fired up on the sidelines? Andy Reid kind of looked at him like, what is happening right now? This is, but it set a fire. I don't know. They were freaking out a little bit at the beginning. Stay composed, guys.
They did not look like, even Pacheco putting it on the ground and then him running up and down the sidelines apologizing. But, you know, it was tough. But I think, you know, I told you, there's no one over there that can stop Kelce. And the same way, I didn't think Kittle. I really thought it was a miss, but they still got plenty of points. They played great, you know, so I can't fault Shanahan for that game plan. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
But Kelce, you saw what he did. One catch, 1 yard in the first half. And, you know, after he told Andy, hey, I'm open, use me. 8 for 92, finished with 9 for 93. Like,
yeah.
I said 10 for over 100, and I thought he was going to get 2 or 3 touchdowns, but, you know, it didn't go that way. But when he needed it most, who did he go to? Kelce.
Yeah. Well, we go into halftime 7-3, and let me remind our friends about EpicSeats.com, because there's a concert at halftime, and if you want to go see other concerts or other shows and things going on, you should use our friends EpicSeats.com. Perhaps you have concert or event tickets and you'd like to sell those and you don't want to do it yourself. You can also use EpicSeats.com, whether you're buying or selling, and tell them that Take 12 sent you or that you heard about them on us, and you will get $12 off when you spend $100 when you're buying seats, or you get an extra $12 per ticket when you're selling seats with EpicSeats.com. Lofa, the halftime show, I'm sure you were grabbing another snack. Perhaps I was as well. But then Usher came out and held it down. And I loved the halftime show. I thought it was fun. It wasn't necessarily as big of a show as it usually is. But, I mean, the songs were banging. And Usher's awesome. And Ludacris and Alicia Keys. Like, how did you like the halftime show?
Yeah, I missed it. I didn't see a single song. But yes, I do enjoy all those artists. They're awesome.
All right. You got to go pump up the surround sound and turn it on today, maybe. It's pretty good. Yeah, I made the whole crew around here watch it. It's good. He comes out on roller skates.
High school and college?
Dude, he dips halfway through and then comes back on roller skates. What's not to love about Usher on roller skates?
He's a great athlete.
Yeah. Ooh, dancing. Takes his shirt all the way off, too. Something for everybody on the halftime show. Anyway, third quarter comes back. Game is still pretty herky-jerky about halfway through the third quarter. Towards the end of the third quarter, then the scoring starts. Fourth quarter's kind of nuts. And then, you know, we go into overtime. Weird game again. Like, at one point, I was making a joke that either kicker could maybe be the MVP. But no, the blocked extra point and then everything. But Butker did set a record for the longest field goal in Super Bowl history.
Yeah, that thing was a missile. And it went right through two hands. And, I mean, it might have been good from 60-plus.
If the Chiefs don't, and we'll get to the final play in overtime and everything, but so, and let's start it with this. If they don't hit that play there at the end, right? Let's say it goes incomplete and they decide to kick a field goal, and I guess we'd be going to double OT or something, which would be completely crazy. If they kick it there, they go to double OT, and then whatever team wins it with a kicker, would we have gotten a kicker for MVP?
Probably not.
Oh, like, come on. Butker? Really? He sets the record, then he ties it, then if he would have won it in OT, really? No? All right.
Probably still not. I don't see it. I think they would have still given it to either Mahomes or, you know, if Kelce scores that final, you know, one or whatever. I don't think they would.
Yeah. I think if Kelce had caught the final touchdown, I think they might have given it to him.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. They definitely would have. And then on the other side, it was Jennings who played. He's a weapon, man. I'm already nervous about next year facing that guy.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, he's real good.
Because he's proven, like, okay, he can play on the big stage, and they're probably going to use him more now that they've seen what he can do, because it's always been, you know, Kittle, Debo, McCaffrey. But now you got him too in the mix. Jeez.
Tell me, let's put on some coaching hats and some strategerial hats. Let's talk about the decision by the Chiefs to kick it going into overtime. They had 6 seconds left on the clock. It was second down, and they had a timeout. Why not try one to the end zone? The final play that ended up being ultimately the final play of the game, why not just run that there and win the game and shoot the confetti off with 6 seconds left? They felt there wasn't enough time, question mark?
Probably didn't get the look that they wanted.
Okay.
You know, is the only thing I can think of. They were a little further back on the field, and that spacing is really where you needed that for the final play.
Okay.
And you had 10 seconds, so only 4 seconds ran off the clock when they went to Kelce. But it's got to be, you remember when Russ – I think we had like 5 or 6 seconds, and they were making the decision. Like, Pete was like, oh, do we kick it? Do we throw it? He pulled Russ over. He's like, hey, it's got to be a back shoulder, and it's got to be a fastball.
Right.
So that way, you want it low. Russ threw it like perfect right at the chest. But so, like, if that ball wasn't caught and it gets deflected, clock doesn't go off until it hits something out of bounds or lands out of bounds. And so, like, that was a real concern. And, you know, I thought they could have done it. They tried it real quick to him, and it wasn't there. So they just made up their mind. They're like, hey, let's go to overtime. You want the ball in Mahomes' hands at the end. That's all, you know, even when San Fran was driving, I know there's like, all right, we hold him to three. This game's over.
I just feel like I want to have just a whole conversation with Andy Reid about these decisions, because it fascinates me. Coach to coach, and, you know, trying to get inside their head and sort of what they're thinking, and you have the different overtime rules, so you know that you're going to get the ball most likely, and I mean, unless there's a defensive touchdown, but most likely, like you said, you know Mahomes is going to at least get one chance. But I just feel like with 6 seconds on the clock, second down from where they were with the quarterback they got, because if it goes the other way on you in overtime, you kind of had your chance there, but, you know, whatever. So they go into overtime. The Niners kick a field goal. Any problems with them kicking the field goal? They kind of have to. You got to get the points. You can't go for it there and come away with nothing, but they leave themselves vulnerable to what happened.
Yeah. No, they were – I got to pull it up because it was pretty bad just from my memory of what their conversions on third – 3 of 12 on third down.
Wow.
So, you know, I don't. And then they went for that one fourth and three, and Kittle got the ball and stretched out, barely made it. But, yeah, when it's going like that, you're not confident that, okay, we'll go for it. And then all Mahomes needs is a field goal.
Yeah.
That is not what you want.
True. They did, though, the Niners, they got the ball and they held on to it forever. That first drive, I mean, it was their only drive in overtime, yeah. But they took like half the clock away. And I mean, they had the penalty, which kept the drive going, which was obviously huge.
Yeah.
But they really, I mean, I don't know. They were, yeah. But then they give the ball back to Mahomes. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I like that. They took like 6 minutes off the clock.
Yeah.
And I know on the other side, you got to be thinking like, are we even going to get the ball? You know, like, were they going to score with like 2 minutes left?
I thought.
And like then. You're in a real jam.
Well, I was thinking, like, the NFL rulemakers, they didn't have this in mind when they came up with the rule that both teams get the ball, because if that team gives you the ball back with 32 seconds, I mean, you technically got the ball, but you didn't really get the ball. So I don't know how that would work. Or what if the first team that gets the ball just literally holds onto the ball till there's, like, 2 seconds left and scores? Would they just – would they have to give the other team another chance or what? I don't know. But anyway.
That'd be game over.
So then what about – and now here's where my conversation with Andy Reid continues, because they get the ball back. Now Mahomes goes down the field. But at the end of the game, I just find it so fascinating that the clock is running. They're not – like, I'm not a Chiefs fan, and I was just standing in the living room just like, what are they doing right now? I don't know. You know, I mean, if that goes incomplete, I guess they have
attack, bro.
Dude, if that goes off McKinnon's hands, which we've seen in our games before, the running back turns around, it just for some reason they run before they catch or whatever. They would have had 2 seconds or so left, but then that would have been your last final chance. Or do they think they kick it there and go to double OT?
Yeah, that's okay. Obviously what the thought process was, because they had two timeouts, and I just didn't understand. Yeah, like, use the timeouts, get the play you want out there. But, dude, I was freaking out, dude. I was like, what are they doing?
I didn't know what they were doing at all. I really wonder what Andy Reid would say. Maybe just he felt like they had the momentum and they had him on their heels. But to snap that ball with the clock running, I've never been more stressed out by a team that wasn't my own team.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and then just right to a walk-off touchdown, just the heart rate all the way up here, and then just like drops, like, oh, they scored.
Also, how come for my team, when every time one of my teams is in one of those situations, it's like a contested ball, or it's never clean, or the quarterback has to scramble for his life, and no, they just drop back, oh, wide open, boom, done, let's go home.
Why
was it that hard the whole time?
I don't know.
Crazy. Yeah. What about that final play? You see anything on that, or
just from what I remember, that it must have been man. They got into the bunch set and they motioned. I think it was Hardman.
They caught the
touchdown. When you're manned up, like if you're a man team and you're in that situation, it's tough. Like, because you don't go to zone.
Yeah.
Right. You don't. You know. And so that's you should, like, if you're. And no one ever does it, but I would, hey, you bunch up, we go to zone. And then as soon as they break, because you have a low defender inside, low defender outside, and safety high, responsible for the three, as soon as they break, now it might not be a great matchup. I might have to cover, you know, a receiver, a speedy receiver, but it's going to happen so quick that you just go straight. That's your new man. And it's not a great matchup for us, but either way, at least someone's on everybody.
And it went late into the night, too. And the way that it ended, with the clock running, and it's not any of my team. So the way that it ended, and they shoot the confetti, and they pass off the trophy, it almost was over quicker than it began. It was strange. The living room I was in had a couple of foreigners who aren't used to American football, and they were like, that's it? It's over? Where are y'all going? And we were like, it's Sunday. We got to work tomorrow. See ya. Yeah. So I don't know what could be done about that. But yeah, it's just like there's all this lead up. You're watching the game for so many hours. It was, what, 11:30 on the East Coast or something by the time this thing wrapped up. No time to party afterwards. I don't know. It felt like I watched the
and
ball
the
drop.
That we've seen win it, just winning it again.
Right. I watched the ball drop in New for New Year's one time in New York, and it was like we were live there. The ball drops, and then everyone just turns around and walks away, and it feels sort of anticlimactic. Sort of what that Super Bowl felt like last night. Yeah, man. So what about the celebration? What about Taylor? What about the rest of it? Any thoughts on all the not football stuff?
No, I didn't really watch. You know, I've seen them win two Super Bowls now. What's a third?
Yeah.
You know, I was just kind of good for them.
Yeah. Yeah. Good for Taylor and her friend Blake Lively. Lots of shots of them. Looks like they were enjoying themselves. So the Chiefs.
Oh, yeah. A lot of stars out there.
Lots of stars. Lots of stars, yeah. Who was your favorite that you saw? Anyone that?
Jay-Z and Beyonce.
Yeah.
Braun was there. Gwen Stefani.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was there.
Vegas.
That was
crazy. Vegas brings the stars out.
I thought he meant Braun from Believe.
No, La.
He could have been there.
La.
He could have been there. You know,
Braun was probably there.
That guy's everywhere.
Probably was.
Yeah.
Okay, wait, I was gonna the Chiefs, I mean the legacy, the dynasty, the whatever this is, we got to talk about this because the one they lost was to old TB and the Bucks, right? So they could even have another one here. What about all of that for Andy Reid? I'm happy for him, but then the Chiefs organization as a whole and the future for Mahomes.
Oh my god, future is bright because this is one of the youngest teams that they've had there. At a lot of positions, that defense is young. Snead, McDuffie played out of his mind.
Yeah.
Carl Loftus looked great. Chris Jones. So it's just, can they keep it all together? Because you're going to have to pay all these guys, and you know, other teams are going to come for them in free agency and say, hey, well, this is a guy who knows what it takes, because that's what they all have that now. And you see Super Bowl team guys get plucked from Super Bowl teams because they want that leadership in other organizations. So it'll be tough to resign everybody, but as long as you give Mahomes one really good receiver, which right now is their rookie, Rashee Rice, and a great tight end. So I think Kelsey could do this for another 4 or 5 years. That's the crazy part. It just looks too easy for him. And so we'll see, but they got to draft a young tight end that he can, and Watson looks pretty good. He's not as strong or as quick with the run after the catch. He's fast, but he's got some things he's got to learn from Kelsey. But he played a great game. He had some big time catches. So I think they're going to be back to this game like 3 or 4 times again in the next 5-6 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's it mean for the Niners, this loss? And what a way to lose it, too. Oof.
I think their window's still open. I think next year is where, after next year, because you're going to have to pay Purdy after next year, I believe, is what when they can negotiate. And when you do that, you see it just take a hit to the whole team, because now you're going to lose all, you know, all your stars, and they're putting the franchise squarely on Purdy's shoulders. So I thought he played his ass off. He had some amazing throws. Just two that he wanted back. The first trick play where they faked the bubble screen to the left and then took a shot, he just overthrew it a little bit. And then it was an unbelievable design by Shanahan. They faked the stretch to the right, and then they had three verts outside, middle, and then right down the hash. I was like, oh, my God, he could throw it net. Any three of these guys, but he picked the right one, but just overthrew Debo in the end zone. But other than that, he had some amazing corner routes and over routes that – just precision. It was in the big game, too, to make those throws for, second year? Unbelievable. But when you got to pay him, it's gonna hurt as a whole. So they got to get back next year, and I think the experience is going to help them, maybe not make some of the mistakes they did on the team. But, yeah, these two teams, I think we're going to see them for a while now.
How about Shanahan? What about Shanahan? I mean, just brutal. Brutal. Again, no Niners fan, but just the Atlanta Super Bowl, remember, with the Patriots? And then, I mean, he wasn't the coach, but, you know, he's there. And then this one, and I just, and, the, you know, the Chiefs, they keep getting them at the end. They got them in the other one.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just brutal.
Three double-digit leads And, you know, that you don't want that. And to the same team in the Super Bowl, the Chiefs, you don't want that to kind of hang around and linger into next season. And so that's, but, you know, it was so brutal. My heart, even though I don't like the Niners, my heart breaks for them because I know what it's like to lose that game. And the feeling just lingers forever.
Yeah, no, I just, as a person, it's got to be tough. And a weird injury, too, to Greenlaw. What? That was weird. I just noticed that was higher on my list here, but I just looked down and I saw that. I mean, that was just so unfortunate. Again, not a Niners fan, but geez.
He's one of my favorite linebackers to watch.
Yeah.
In the game today. And he had too much energy. He was expanding too much energy. Like I said it even to my kid, I was like, yeah, watch 57 because he's one of my favorite linebackers. But after every play, if you go back and watch it, he's just getting up. Like he looks like he's going to strain a muscle, you know, partying, like flexing on him. And then he did. He blew his Achilles. And just because, just overextended. And like, I'm telling you, when you tense up like that, it's hard to sustain it for, you know, a full 3 hours. And I feel like that the moment was just a little too big in terms of his emotions. He let his emotions get the best of him. But yeah, I felt so bad for that kid. He is one of the best linebackers in the league.
I thought of my good friend Lofa a lot while watching the Super Bowl. Cause I think of you while I watch football all the time. I think, oh, what would Lofa say about this or that? But I especially thought about you right at the beginning and right when the game was starting and everyone's talking about who they're picking and who they're rooting for in the living room. I thought of you right away because the Niners, when they came out, they had a boombox over a shoulder. The guys were all dancing. They're pushing each other. They're mosh pitting and whatever. They're fired up. They're screaming and yelling and jumping and bringing the hype, right? And then the Chiefs, they just followed Andy Reid out of the tunnel, just walking, just stone face, focused, straight ahead. And I remember you talking about getting overhyped and maybe making it too big of a deal and being kind of like almost like too prepared from and too energetic and whatever. And right then I proclaimed that the Chiefs will win this game because of how both teams entered the field.
That's what experience does for you, buddy. This is old hat to them. They're just like, oh, this is what we do. We come out here, we win Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Who's next? Like,
so somebody next year. Somebody's going to have to deal with them.
Yeah. And I feel like just they can't coast. They learned a valuable lesson this year. You can't coast and hope to make it to the playoffs because they almost didn't, right? And I mean, they had enough wins, but going on the road, that's when I said, okay, if they make it all the way on the road this year, just give them their ring.
Two back-to-back,
like a home game to them now,
and not only back-to-back Super Bowls, but back-to-back overtime Super Bowls. Never had an overtime in the NFL, or in the Super Bowl ever. 50 something of them, and then two in a row. All those commercials. I looked it up. $7 million for a 30-second commercial. North of $7 million.
Which commercial? What was your favorite?
Just to get it on the air. The one I remember that sticks out the most is the Ben Affleck, J-Lo, Dunkin' Donuts one. Was that yours?
So, yeah, your boy Tom was in there too.
Yeah. Well, and
Brett blocked that part out.
My favorite part is that Matt is too cool for it and doesn't even want to be there. And he clearly told them the only way he'll do it is if his character cannot want to be there.
I really liked the Michael Cera V lotion. I thought that was good.
That's been going on the internet for a few weeks. It was good of them to have fun with that. Yeah. McNeil, what were you saying?
The State Farm one was really good. I love that one.
With Arnold?
With Arnold.
Yeah.
Neighbor.
Hey, everybody. With the Super Bowl being over, that also means that's a wrap on this season of Take 12. We do appreciate all of you listening. What a great season it was for this here podcast. And I mean, we went to New York and met some listeners and partied with them out there. We went to Dallas and partied with some Seahawks fans there. We did trips up to Seattle and outside the stadium and all these episodes and all the sponsors and everybody listening. We gathered so many of you this year. And so I'll just say thank you. And And thank you, Lofa, and thank you, Katie, and Luana, and Carly, and McNeil, and Ryan, and everybody around here who makes it go, because it's a lot of fun to do, and we love y'all.
Thank you, Brett.
You're welcome. Lofa, you got anything to say to the people as we wrap up this here season?
Yeah, thank you. Stay tuned. Hopefully we get some draft stuff going this year.
Yeah.
That's something I'm really passionate about. But yeah, I love my team. Thank you all. I appreciate you. Every listener, every sponsor. Wouldn't be possible without both of you. Just love you guys, and thanks for hanging with us.
The next year's opponents for the Seahawks have already been released. We got Packers and Vikings and Broncos on the schedule. Well, I guess that would be Russell-less. The Bills, the Bears, man, Lions again, Patriots, lots to talk about next season. And as Lofa said, we'll be back sometime around draft time to talk about the new staff and what they're doing. And hey, we got an OC, the guy from UW, you saw that? So they're building the squad over there, Lofa.
Yeah.
Lots to talk about. For our sponsors, Wiener Schnitzel and Delta and Epic Seats, and Simply Seattle and Pack Back, you know, thank all of them as well. And we'll see you guys later. If you have emails or thoughts, you can hit us up on our email, which is SeahawksPod@gmail.com. You can also hit us up on all social media at Take 12 Pod. At Take 12 Pod on all social media. That's it, right, Katie? That's it. Love y'all. Yeah. We'll see you later. Hands in the middle. Lofa, you must do this one. You're not sending this one back. This is yours. You're the captain of our ship.
All right. I appreciate everybody. It's a new year. This is our year, just like every fan base says, but we actually believe it. This is our year on three. One, two, three.
This is our year!
Believe. B-L-E-A-V.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.